NFR Extra, we're going to take you behind the scenes in a way you've never heard before. Every 2 weeks, you're going to hear personal conversations with the icons and personalities that make up the world's richest and most prestigious rodeo. NFR Extra. All dirt, all rodeo, all year.
Oh my goodness.
OMG.
That's right. Episode 14.
And growing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're getting ready to step on the gas even more so as we head towards October. And just a real quick, I am your host, Nevada Caldwell.
And this is Bo Gardner.
This got a little southern touch to it, yes, this episode, right? Yeah. A lot of accents.
Yes.
One of which is Rockin' Robbie Hodges tells a bit of how he got involved in being a barrel man and his first NFR experience, which is
that
was a great story.
What a story. Lots of energy there.
Yeah, I was exhausted.
And then Mr. Joe Beaver took a moment to share his involvement in the youth rodeo world today. And he also goes on to give us some advice on the up-and-coming individuals chasing their gold buckle dreams.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. The Beavs was...
a lot of experience.
Yeah, he's on both sides.
Yes.
He's got that Tony Romo touch to him. The Roman
Yes, that's
Super
right.
Bowl, right.
You did reference that. I remember that.
Hey, make sure, though, if wherever you listen to NFR Extra Podcasts, make sure to hit that subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen to us. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Haley Kinsel, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
This is Bo's Bull, the rodeo news of the week.
This is Brylan Bentley covering the rodeo news of the week. PRCA stat of the week, $40 million is the amount of money paid out by the PRCA to the Cowboys so far this season.
Go get them, Cowboys.
A bit of a lot of coin there.
Yeah. Keep watching the world standing stats as the regular season concludes September 30th.
Who's making the 120?
We're going to find out soon. The national finals steer roping will be held in Kansas Star Arena in Mulvane on November 22nd and 23rd.
Mulvane? Is that Kansas? Is that
where yeah.
That's at? Okay.
Kansas Star Arena.
Another place I don't think we've been, Bo.
Mm-mm.
We have not.
Put it on the agenda.
Sounds good.
Steer wrestler Jesse Brown set a Pendleton record with a 3.7-second run.
Woo! Woo!
Previously held by Casey Jones with a 3.8 set in 2001.
A good friend of ours. That's a long-standing record right there.
Very long-standing. Cowboy Channel announces coverage of the National Finals Rodeo live, as well as 18 Pro Rodeo Tour final performances and so much more. Check out Cowboy Channel social media for more information.
That's a good move. I think a lot of fans will like that.
The Cowboy Channel.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
For more information about the world standings and the National Finals Rodeo, visit NFRExperience.com. Bo.
NV.
What are we at? Episode 14, right?
Is number
right?
14. Yes,
14.
Sir.
Yeah, we got past 13. Yeah. And, you know, as you can hear, we have a nice little special guest here with Rockin' Robbie.
Welcome, Rockin' Robbie Hodges, to the NFR podcast.
Hey, fellas. Hey, what's going on, Robbie? Welcome,
That's right.
Welcome aboard.
Sure hope y'all are keeping it down.
We're trying.
Best we can.
Get there. You better get everything screwed down with extra nails, and when I get there, we're going
to
have some fun.
We're looking forward to it.
So, Robbie,
you better believe it.
Let's get in the mix here, right? Because you're a busy dude. You're obviously working on something right now. Just like every person that we speak to on this show, somebody's doing something. Whether they're getting ready to ride, they're doing something. And usually it's revolved with a horse, right? It's always revolved around a horse.
He's hooking up a trailer, but I don't know what's in that trailer.
Nothing alive in this rig but one dog.
Good enough.
And an occasional girlfriend from San Diego.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, and Donna Kempler's beer keg.
So, got a quick question. Let's start this thing off right. You joined PRCA as a contestant in 1991 and became a barrel man in 2004.
He's old.
Right on.
Yeah, so how's it been being a part of this business and where you've been since then, where you're at now, and along the way. I mean, you know.
Well, it was such a funny story. I had rodeoed over on the East Coast. It's kind of hard to leave out and go to PRCA rodeos. Back then, especially, there's tons more now. But when I started, you know, I started over in the regional ranks and the IPRA and stuff. And I decided I wanted to go because all my buddies were going to all the pro rodeos down in Florida. So I just jumped in and went with them. I went to the circuit finals, had the lowest mark score in the history of the PRCA as the bareback ride. I had one spin out from under me. I was 4 on both sides. Thanks, Butch Kirby. But came back, won 2 rounds, and placed in the average there. And that was my bareback riding career over there. But in 97, I had a son with some heart conditions, so I was kind of slowing down a little bit. And I was winning, and I wasn't having as much fun even winning. And, when you do that, it's time to quit. So I was kind of leaning towards getting out of the bareback riding, and I wanted something just to kind of keep me going. I was always the guy, you know, I hid my fear. My guys used to tease me all the time, my traveling partners, because I'd be the one that'd hit myself with a hot shot or say, "Hey, fat boy, you work here? Yeah, we'll open the gate." And, you know, and it was always a joke to me is how I hid my fear of riding bucking horses. And I always made it comedy, you know, and I'd whoop and holler. And so when I finally told them one day I was going to probably start slowing her down, they said, "Why don't you become a rodeo clown? You'd be a good one." I said, "Well, I don't know about all that. But I wanted something to keep me in this sport that had given me so much, because the only thing I ever was, you know, I was 5'2" in high school and played football for about 17 seconds one season. And I said, way too much working out for so little time, too many man hours. So I just wanted to give back. So in 2000, I started rodeo clowning, I guess, with a thing called the U.S. Cowboy Tour. Started with them. Went and did the IRA rodeos for a while, the IPRA rodeos, and went to the finals there twice. And one day I got to thinking, I said, well, you know, I used to go to those rodeos down in Florida, and there weren't very many clowns coming down there. It was always the same guys. I said, well, you know, I'm close to there. Why wouldn't I go venture out? Well, that was in 04, and Troy Weekly at 5-Star gave me a chance. First rodeo I did was Davie, Florida. The afternoon school perf with about 6,000 screaming kids. And I was doing my Chicken in Outer Space act, and when I did, I got the wrong bomb charge in it, and if the chicken wouldn't have escaped, I'd have blown him all over the kids. So that would have been besides this interview, that would have been the fastest of getting fired in the history of the sport of rodeo.
Oh, that's
talking about not making the whistle, but... so it worked out, and I had Steve Duhon, Victor Deck, and a bunch of them out there trying to catch this chicken and do this act. Well, then I get it back, and then, boom, I blew it off, and it would have blown the whole – it was thank you, Lord, for not letting me get the chicken back in the box. Troy liked it. Thank God. Because I was cheap. And he said, come do all my rodeos for me. So I got my 5 in, and – that was 2005, and I started, and I went, did a few circuit finals, and I guess it's the shortest amount of time that anybody's ever worked as a barrel man. I got the call in 2010 that no hillbilly from Georgia would ever imagine ever getting, you know, to do the Wrangler National Finals. I got it back when the bull riders actually voted, and to me, that's what really matters in this sport. And finally, this year, we're going back to that because – you know, the NFR is the greatest show that's ever been, but it's not a time for comedy. It's a time – we've done the comedy all year long. It's time to showcase the 15 guys, you know, and they voted me to protect them because I love working the barrel. You know, down at Okeechobee, Florida, I know y'all guys have heard about those bulls down there, and you've seen a bunch of them at your NFR, and either you work the barrel down there or somebody dies. So it's rough, you know. I mean, and that's where I learned it from the guys down there. They said, if you're going to work here, you got to work the barrel. And boy, it stuck. I love being a barrel man. I think it's such an insult sometimes some of the guys don't work the barrel. Now, they're all my friends, but I feel like it's kind of a kick in the pants to those guys when you don't work the clown barrel and you don't get in it and work. And That's a funny story about my first night at the NFR, too, but we'll get to that. But when I got that call.
What, do you read the script?
You know, I was sitting there. Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. Let me flip to page 7, little letter E. Now, I just want y'all to know I'm not prepared here. Krista, bring my notes. Hold on a second. Lighting is terrible in here, people. My God. Ruined. Catering. Anyway. Oh, but it's not scripted, Bo. I don't know what you think. So anyway, I go there and everybody was, I was the new guy, you know, because it had been Flint, which is my one of my best friends, Troy Lurwell, Keith, and then here's the hillbilly from Georgia getting this thing. So I go in there with Sean Davis the first night, the first scary meeting. It's like being in the principal's office, and he says, you know why everybody thinks I'm so mean? I said, yes, sir, I'm just wondering, which I already knew. And he says, because if you, and he rolled that blind back, you know, he looks over them glasses and rolls that blind back, and he said, sell him lights. That's what we're competing with right there. He says, we need to run this in 2 hours. I've got everybody that wants to do what they want to do. And you've done enough rodeos to know that that won't work. And I said, yes, sir. And he says, that's what I want out of you is just do your job and nothing else. And I said, yes, sir. And I said, I tell you what, here's what I want out of you. When you and that little dog, Shorty, are going up I-15 about St. George, Utah, I want you to look over at that little dog and say, man, that Hodges was an easy son of a gun to work with. He did everything we needed, and we'll be fine. He said, me and you going to get along just fine, brother. And we never had 1 second except for him. Now, you got to watch Sean now. If he likes you, he's a joker.
Oh, yeah.
He will play some tricks. Yeah.
We at the LV office have our own nicknames thanks to Sean Davis. Yep. So.
I'm Hillbilly, by the way.
Yeah, I'm Bobama. I don't know where the heck that came from, but
Bobama. I know it's. Let's see. There's Corleone.
Yep.
Pauly.
Yep.
So Tim Keener's called
the
Ticketmaster.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's great. So we never had one problem. Well, the first night, I'm sitting there fixing to go out in that arena, me and Kenny Bajeron. You know, you don't get dressed till about the barrel race, and you come out of the locker room there. You watch it back there. And I'm not going to say there was a keg of beer back there or anything like that because I wouldn't want to give that
never
any of that information. No. It was a fun time. So – I'm sitting there, and I looked at Kenny Bajeron. I said, I don't know about you, Kenny, but I'm about to pee my pants right now. He said, if you'll just help me. He said, let's get out of here. What are we doing here? I said, I know. It's about the fifth bull in. I'm so nervous. You know, I said, I can't believe we got this deal. And he said, I know. About the fifth bull in, I'm sitting here looking at the picture. Clayton Williams gets his foot hung on monkey blood of Jerry Nelson's, and I go running the barrel down there as hard as I can. Because I thought he was just getting mucked out, and I was going to do my job. Well, I see he's got his foot in it, and I turn right there. And I tell you what, when I got there, I bailed out of the barrel. Didn't really have to do a whole lot, but that barrel moving was like the first pass at the in the NFL. You know, it's like, oh, my God, what do we do now? He's moved the barrel. Everybody's like, well, you know, they're going to fine you because you're not supposed to move the barrel and this whole deal. So I go in there with Sean. Of course, Pete Coors says, well, if you get fined, I'm paying it because that's the first time we've seen our barrel in about 20 years. I just went down there to do my job. And he said, I know. So I go in there with Sean, and everybody's like, oh, you're going to get fined. Ooh, fine boy, you're getting fined. I go in there, and I'm sitting there, and Sean says, I need to talk to you. I said, yes, sir, you know how he does. And he says, first of all, you don't have to move your barrel east and west because we have a camera above the calf box. He said, I know you're excited. Quit clapping a little bit early. And he said, in that barrel, he said, man, it sure is good to see a guy pack that barrel off down in there. Go get somebody every once in a while. And I went, oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe it. You know, and he said, and this is exactly what he said. You did a really good job. Boy, don't make me have to tell you to move that barrel. Yes, sir. And I made a ring in that arena, and I ran as fast as I went down there and got somebody all week. I ran back over there. And he'd look at me, and he'd just smile. And it was the greatest experience of my life. And to this day, I'm one of the only old clowns that goes down there and sits with him. And the last time I went down there was last year, or 2 years ago, I'm sorry, because Boyd was there, you know, and they were busy. He gave me 20 minutes of his visit time. It was probably 45 minutes before the purse started. And I said, I know you got, no, sit down here and talk to me, hillbilly. So, so the myth of him, he does have a soft side. It ain't real big, and it's a liquid mean center, but he does have a soft side.
Holy crap, man.
And
that is
so
awesome.
That's my NFR experience. I hope it didn't bore you, but to this day, that's still my favorite story to tell about him.
A great one. That was awesome. So how many rodeos do you actually get to go work a year?
I do about, well, this year has been my busiest. I'm going to do about 47, from PBRs to PRCA rodeos to local stuff. If I'm coming through, I'll never turn one down. If I've got to drive by one, my mom and my banker told me to go. So I do, you know, and most of the guys, I see them, you know, we have a good time. And it's so funny because there's some rodeos in this business I need to be at, and the people want to have fun even after the rodeo. You know, I'm a guitar player too. So we always have these big after party times and stuff, and people, it gives them a time to cool down, gives everybody a safe, cold place to get mainly. So I kind of have a good time at these things. So whenever I stop or if anybody's there, they're like, Hodges is here. Come on, we got a place to get now. You know, and that's my favorite thing about this whole sport. You know, I fix some milk and cookies and stuff. And,
yes.
You know, and I'll fix them a pot pie or something, you know, or chicken pot pie where they can eat and they get nourishment and, you know, stuff like that. You know, no alcohol or anything, no beer.
No.
I mean, you know,
no.
We would never.
Never.
No. Yeah, right. We have had some glorious parties, and there's some places I've been permanently banned from, but that's okay.
Well, Robbie, where can I find you every night during the rodeo? At night, later at night.
During the NFR?
Yeah. Where can I go?
During the NFR? Listen, if y'all get me a 50-amp plug, I'll park this big old rig right anywhere you want me to, and y'all can just come on out there. But listen, Bo has got to behave, okay? Yeah, that's the main thing.
I've been with Bo at a rodeo.
Looks like I saw Bo's Facebook today. Looks like old Bo's been behaving pretty good.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
You bet. You better keep her.
I was told today that it'll be 1 month and 1 day before Miss Shauna and I get hitched in Arizona.
Ms. Gardner.
Are you kidding? That is, I'm sure I'm glad she didn't dump you this week after I talked about that. Wouldn't that have been, that'd have been as awkward as shooting a puppy in the street with a kid watching after a car hit it.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I don't know if I'd use that or not, but at this time, for the express written consent.
Well, it's timely.
NFR Extra, I suggest you don't use that.
Hey, Robbie, I want to jump back to something real quick. This is, you know,
you bet.
It's more of a definition, right? You know, you hear the word, you know, barrel man, and then you see bullfighter.
Right.
What's the difference between the two? Because I think fans out there that aren't very aware of this.
Okay.
There's unique techniques and everything that, and you guys are extreme, along with the Justin Sports Medicine folks.
One plays in a band at night, guys. And the other one actually goes to bed and gets himself ready for the event the next night. So.
They're responsible, but I'm very undisresponsible. After my performance, I'm very undisresponsible. But that's my new word for the, I just found that word. Yeah, I'm not sure it even goes with that, but it was really long and I was trying to act smart on this interview. So the difference in it, you know, no matter every rodeo you go to, whether you're 90 points, it's J-Dub, it's Sage, it's anybody, you're going to get bucked off, whether you're 90 points or zero. You got your two guys there. Their job, and fortunately, y'all have had the best of the best for so many years in at the NFR, you know, with Webster. And, I mean, it goes all the way back to Joe B, you know.
Yep.
My job, well, when they get knocked down, it's time for somebody to come get the two bullfighters. They're saving the bull rider. And when they get knocked down, if I'm not doing my job, nobody's there to get them. So they just, you know, they're fed to the wolves. So nothing in this world makes me happy when I go, oh, thank God you're here, Hodges, because these are mean. You know, I mean, because they know that's what I'm there for. I try to do comedy, and I'm fun all during every event. you know, I do my acts and stuff. But when that bull riding starts, that's all business for me, because I'm in a position, y'all, as a hind catcher. That's why the hind catcher in baseball calls the ball game most of the time. You know, of course the coach does, but the catcher sees everything on the field as it's happening. My job is to see everything in that arena as it's happening. So you'll hear me a lot of times, even at the finals, if somebody, you know, if they're working a bull away from somebody, and I say, you're good, he's clear, you know, just let them know they can ease up a little bit and start saving their own self, you know, instead of just, you know, being a silent guy out there. And then when it gets bad, you know, I'm in a 140-pound barrel, 155 when I'm talking to the chicks, but it's 140 on average. But, you know, it's made out of brawn and steel. Actually, it's aircraft aluminum, but, you know. And it hurts my back to pick it up, but I don't tell anybody. But, the you know, I'll go in there now. And I'll give them something. Yes. Yeah, oh, yes, of course. But, you know, I give them something to run to, and it can be – we're a tripod out there, and if we're working together, you know, and if I've got a shot to make a pick, if one's chasing somebody, I'll step out there and let with that barrel and take it, you know. I love fighting bulls with my barrel. I think that is a very important job. Of course, I love the comedy part. That's great. And my comedy is fast. There's not a lot of big acts. I'm not a big act kind of guy where, like John Harrison and the group, some of my best friends in the world, they're big act people. Well, I'm the walking, talking type, you know. So, but when that bull riding starts, I'm all business with it, you know. And I've hopefully gained that respect to the folks that, you know, that fight bulls and ride bulls, that, you know, that I'm going to come get them no matter what. And also, you have to remember a lot of times, and you got to work this part out too, I'm also in a large yellow object. So you don't want to move too fast and possibly mess up a good bull ride, you know. And that's what they didn't want, somebody crashing in there and messing up a great bull ride, you know, because you were there too early or too late. And yeah. So, you know, it's been a fine line, and that's what I try to teach my guys. Just be perfect on time every time, and you'll be fine. That's
there you
what
go.
I tell them. Don't,
so you know, you have another job. I don't know who hires you for this, but they call mm-hmm. you Rockin' Hillbilly Rod. What do they call you?
Rockin' Robbie Hodges. And I'm actually, for the last 5 years, I've had the coolest job in the world. The other job is I play lead guitar for Luke Kaufman, and, you know, the original cowboy baller. And he hired me back at Scottsdale a few years ago and said, it'd be so cool to have the barrel man just jump up there and start, you know, be my lead guitar player. Would you like to do that? And I said, of course I would. So now, and it really actually saved my career, guys.
It's not an air guitar, right? This is an actual real guitar.
No. Sometimes he even plugs it in. It's awesome. You should see it. When there's not a lot of people there, like if it's an off night, like Tuesday at 2, he'll even let me plug it in, but he won't turn the amp on. Most of the time, it's not even plugged in. No, actually, it is. So hopefully, that's why I have to do better. And I'm going to tell you, you can do anything you want to behind clown makeup, and if it screws up, you just – it's funny, it was a clown act. You screw that guitar deal up, it's a different deal, you know, because there's people listening for that.
And so who else is in your band?
It's me, Luke Kaufman. We have Raven, who is our African-American drummer. And then our bass player is named Al Blanton, and he is legally blind.
Nice.
So sometimes we're known as Luke Kaufman and the Jerry's Kids, because we have me as a rodeo clown, a blind guy, a black dude, and a guy from North Carolina. So that's what the whole band is, four of us. And we travel around. And I'm going to tell you what, it is the most fun. We do a lot of rodeos. We'll do after, you know, like there's a rodeo dance and stuff, they'll hire Luke. And it's really helped me get a bunch of, hey, can you get Luke at a rodeo? You know, I'm like, sure.
Can you send a demo tape so that we can maybe use it for background during this episode?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Absolutely. I would love that. Just, yes, I'll send you some stuff. We've got, Luke's got some stuff out there, and I'll get him to send me a board copy of some cool stuff. I mean, we play it downtown each night, usually during the NFR. We always play at the Rock Bar there, and, you know, with John Fine and those guys. And then we'll play at the Tropicana. We played there 10 nights before. Let's see, that was 4 years ago.
What's your schedule this year?
Yeah,
well, we're working on it now to finish up to see. I know during PBR this year we're going to be out there doing we're going to be out there playing four nights, but we're more than likely I host a party there, a bull riding party each night. Ever since I had the NFR, they've had me to host their their after party thing, you know, because there's so many after parties, and
that's where
so
I
go
you.
There, and then we just jump right on the stage and go to play right after our little bull riding thing that we do. You know, it's right there on the strip. And it's been a great following. We've had a ball there. So we're working on getting that closed down now. Unless y'all come up with something closer to the Thomas and Mack, then we'll do it. And we'll drop them like third grade math.
That's a good
I'm just kidding.
Hey, but that's a good spot. That's right in the heart of the strip over there, the PBR Rock Bar.
Oh, it absolutely is. That PBR Rock Bar is great. And those guys, they support so much. You know, I mean, you watch it there, and then you can go. And it's been a blessing to me. I actually – about Tuesday out there, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I usually do the old Howard Hughes, though. I try to hide. If I don't have a gig, I put the shades in, and I go hide.
Not touching doorknobs.
But your town will make you tired.
It's not the town.
Did you know that? It's not the town.
Nope.
It's not.
You make it whatever you want to make it, and you just make
You're
it.
You're right.
Yeah.
Hey,
you ain't kidding. I sure try to balance.
Robbie, hey, I know what I want if you're sending stuff. I saw some pretty cool T-shirts on your Rockin' Robbie. On his website.
Oh, did you
some
Bad Clown gear?
Yes, yeah.
Absolutely. They will be out there. I'm bringing y'all some. You know,
awesome.
The year that I got the NFR, I had a couple of beers and two milk and cookies, and I went and got me a tattoo of that logo on my arm because I thought it was cool because I'm the world's largest Lynyrd Skynyrd fan. And I wanted to do something kind of like that and make this so. And I was on a cruise one day with a group called the Outlaws, Greengrass and High Tides and all them, you know, all the great Southern rock and roll songs that they did. And I was on there and I kept feeding the bass player's wife. Well, she wakes up the next day and looks at me and goes, "Bad clown, bad clown." So I named it Bad Clown Gear, and it's a cool little emblem.
I think we ought to make
right
it
radio.
NFRC, the rodeo committee uniform for one. We all.
Oh my gosh! Yes, I will have them. Oh yeah. And so we'll get and we're coming out with a special line of overalls.
Wrangler?
Yeah, Oshkosh Overdraw. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. See, you just made me think of something else. Wham!
Yeah, we do a lot of that here, Robbie, but that's for sure.
No kidding. I'm so, and you know, and I've worked with you guys for now doing the autograph sessions, you know, and stuff with those guys, and it has been the most fun doing that. When we first started that, we were at different hotels, and, you know, we'd go and we were like at the Aria, and then we'd go to the different ones. We used to get in there, and it was, and all I did was entertain people in the line, and I had so much fun. And I love, that's one of my favorite things.
I think your
favorite's
still the Golden Nugget, right? With the.
Yes, with the barrel racer.
Yes.
I used to get people, if you'd go get me a Starbucks, I'd move you to the front of the line and stuff. You know why? Because they thought I was in charge. The worst thing you can do is let Robbie Hodges be in charge of anything. You know that.
That's fantastic.
Bad clown.
But you learn that pretty quick. You learn that pretty quick. I cannot wait. I'm so excited to get out there with you guys. Oh, man, that's the highlight of everybody. You know, and doing the NFR, I was very lucky very early. I was blessed to get it. So now I go do the fun rodeos. It'd be great, you know what I mean? But it doesn't have to be. I'm fortunate that it doesn't have to be something I have to thrive for again, you know, because now I have so much fun with you guys out there, you know, and I really love when we're doing the deals coming over there in your office and hanging out. We always laugh and have a good laugh, you know, and that's so much funny. It's funny stuff goes on, and I never see you. Now, I don't know how you are the rest of the time. I never see you without we're telling jokes and cutting up. That's why I come
You're
in
talking
there.
To Envy, right? Not me, because I don't ever tell jokes.
Yeah, right.
No, you are. Don't let him fool you.
I write his jokes for him.
Don't let him fool you. He has, even though he has the personality of a dead carp.
Super exciting.
That's what they said on the, in the little handbook. That's what they said. Yeah. Insult the radio host and you'll be okay.
Hey, Robbie, where are you heading next? What do you got on
tap? I am leaving today. I'm going up and I'm flying out of. I did Bulls on the Beach, the Wrangler Bulls on the Beach thing down here at the world famous Florabama Lounge in lovely Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, Alabama. And I did three performances there. It was on the Wrangler Network, and it was so much fun. And me and my girlfriend decided we'd stay a few days and just fly out of here. She goes back to San Diego, and I go to Indianapolis today. And then I go to Ohio, and then I'm back down here for a couple of days, and I start Pasadena, Texas.
Wait,
Pasadena,
what's in Ohio?
The scariest rodeo.
Yeah, wow.
What's in
Ohio? New Washington, Ohio. They have two streets there, Main and Plum. When you get off Main, you're Plum out of town. So it's a fun place. All those up there. I love doing those. You know, I know we see rodeos out west all the time, but when you go up there and you give them something new like rodeo, they love it so much because they don't see it every week. You know, I'm not knocking the Oklahomas and the Texas and the Kansas, but they see rodeo every week. Get out of the way, clown, so we can watch the team roping, you know. But these people up here, they have so much fun, and they interact with you so well, and it is such a joy, you know.
Robbie Hodges introducing new fans to the world of rodeo.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yes. And they're like, wow, this is really fun. Is everybody this crazy? So,
well,
but, you know, I cannot wait to bust Las Vegas wide open this year. We're going to have so much fun. Golly.
Envy, are we going to give Robbie Hodges a passing grade or what?
Yeah, absolutely. We could talk to Robbie every single day.
You think so?
Quite a bit.
That's the first one I had since third grade.
Chime in.
You didn't do too bad.
Yeah, you're slightly entertaining, Robbie.
I did like the advice about the Starbucks, though.
I had a very good host, okay?
Oh, first he cuts on the host, and now he's complimenting the host. I think he's all over the place.
Hey, you got to knock them down and bring them up, Bozo. Come on now. You know better.
Ain't that the truth?
Who are you, Obama?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is too good,
man. Oh,
man. Well, hey, thanks
coming
on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Don't miss your plane.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to finish packing. I'm going to have like four things. I learned from Luke Kaufman, who can live in a backpack for 9 days straight on the road, that I can get packed pretty quick. So, but I'm fixing to get on to the airport, guys. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed this. Whether we do this or not, you know what? We're having fun. That's all I care about. That's my whole life. And when they're looking over at me in that old pine box, I'm going to say, you know what? That guy had a good time at what he did.
That's the goal.
Yes, it is.
Man. You better believe it.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Yeah, thanks, Robbie.
Yes, sir.
For more information about NFR and Cowboy Christmas, please visit NFRExperience.com. And while you're listening, don't forget to hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play for the NFR podcast.
Hi, I'm 8-time world champion bull rider Donnie Gay, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Eight world titles, 22 NFR qualifications from Huntsville, Texas. Welcome to the show, Joe Beaver.
Mr. Joe Beaver.
Hello, guys. How are y'all today?
We are doing fantastic, and thank you so much for giving us your quality time.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, quality is a big name there. Big word.
Hey, we'll just jump right in, sir. The Thomas & Mack, as you know, is known as the house that Joe built. 1987, Thomas & Mack, for the first time, sold out during the NFR and has since been sold out, 35 times?
Correct.
35 years, I should say, right? So, what's it like being part of that growth, a major part of that growth, 22 times?
Well, it was, you know, it was a big deal in 1985 when they cracked out there. They'd been in Oklahoma City forever. And if you're a kid trying to make the finals, you were dreaming of Oklahoma City. And all of a sudden, they said Las Vegas. And they said the, you know, venue was small and the arena was not as big. And how are you going to, you know, what do you think of that? And you know, I remember telling a reporter, I said, man, I don't care. I'd rather go to Las Vegas because everybody goes to Oklahoma. Not everybody's been to Las Vegas. And for as much money, you know, back then, whatever it was, $7,000 or $8,000, you know, go around page, that was a lot of money.
Sure.
And I told him, I said, man, I'd open the parking lot for that much money. I don't care. You know, and then to be a part of what Las Vegas and the Thomas and Mac has grown in to be, you know, that's pretty special to start it all off right there. And it started my NFR career right there too.
Sure. The house that Joe built, Thomas and Mac.
Yep. Yeah, it's been remodeled quite a few times, but I'm still the one that brought it in.
Well, when you have that many Wrangler NFRs in there, you do have to put some touch-up paint sometimes.
Yes, sir. And there's a lot of guys that done it with a lot more money, and that's what it's supposed to be, too.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I remember winning $100,000 there one year, and it was like a big deal. But it's not a big deal anymore. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to keep going bigger and better. And so far, that's what we're doing.
$26,000 to win a round now.
That's a nice chunk of change.
Yeah, and you know, and honestly, it ought to be $50,000 or $40,000.
Right.
But
you're right.
It's growing. Don't get me wrong. The last 4 or 5 or 6 years, it started to grow as it should. You know, compared to the money that's brought into the town, and compared to the ticket sales, and you know, I remember when the first tickets cost $15, I think, up top and $30 down below, you know, and it's all changed, but that's the way it's supposed to. The Thomas and Mac has brought the NFR and the city of Las Vegas, and the top Cowboys in stock have brought the NFR to a pedestal, and that's what the national finals should be.
Yep.
Well, speaking of change, Joe, so obviously you were in the middle of the arena grabbing a lot of gold buckles, nightly appearances after you win, doing all the things that contestants do, and then who evolved into, like a lot of sports athletes do, you become a commentator. How did that happen? What was the transition? Who came to you? Did you come to somebody? Like, how did this all come about?
You know, it started in 1999, I think, is the first year that I was hurt and didn't make the national finals that year. I was out for 2 or 3 months, and I believe the first people were Carl. Carl came to me or called me and said, hey, you know, would you be interested in doing some stuff? Ty had done it a few times when he was injured. And I said, yeah, you know, I'll try anything. You know, if I think it'll be fun and I can handle it. And I was lucky enough, you know, to get to do them that year. And then I came back and did them another year. I missed the finals another year. I was hurt. And then after the rodeo and, you know, the competitive edge of my career went south where I was done, you know, and I knew my body couldn't take it anymore, and the time had stepped over me. I got in with Jeff Metters.
Nice.
Jeff called me and wanted to know if I would do some stuff, and I got to work with him and Butch Knowles, but Jeff was the one that's, you know, made it possible for me to have the opportunity, and then, you know, whoever the last word said at Las Vegas Events or PRCA or wherever, you know, okayed it. But Jeff Metters is the one that brought me in and gave me a chance to just first start doing the national finals and then on to the tour rodeos throughout the year, you know, and one thing led to another. And I've done the American, I've done the national finals, I've done the TV tour rodeos. It all kind of fell into place, and it was almost like it was, you know.
Nice. You pulled like a Tony Romo kind of, right? Like just killing it out there.
That's it. He sells what he's got.
You know, Joe, so
Cowboys fan, he had to say Tony Romo.
I had to drop that in there. Yeah. So, you know, fans, the contestants, the sponsors, everybody, we're pretty heavy with our social across many channels. And I got to tell you, you're very polarizing. Are you aware of like where the fans just, man, there's a lot of talk about you and your commentary on the sport. Are you aware of that at all?
You're going to get your negative and you're going to get your positive, and then you get the people, you know, that say you get home bad or indifferent, and you just roll with it. I mean,
it's called
my
stirring
job
the
is to
shit.
Call it like I see it. You're not, you know, doing good, and you're not doing good, and you need to practice some more or something. Because, you know, I had a guy tell me a long time when I first started doing it, he said, you know what you're watching, but until you can educate the public in what they're actually seeing, they can't enjoy rodeo on TV.
Oh, that's
and
truth.
So that's why I try to have the back, you know, backstage stories or the, you know, different about the horses or situations or who's crippled and who's not, because, you know, if you're watching it on TV or you're sitting in the stands, you really don't get that part of it.
Nope.
You don't know that guy had knee surgery, you know, 2 months before, and he's not even supposed to be riding a bike yet, but he's trying to steer wrestle, you know, or you don't know that one guy lost his good horse 2 weeks ago, but he actually barred one that's better than that, so he's going to win more or whatever
right.
the situation is, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've got a bird's eye view of the time events from where I'm at, and I'm going to call it like I see it, and I'm going to throw it out there and try to have some fun with it.
There you go.
Oh, that's awesome.
So not only was Joe Bieber an NFR contestant, and now you called him a commentator, compared him to Tony Romo.
Man.
All right. We are also going to call Mr. Joe Bieber a producer, right? So
Yeah. You
hosted or produced a Junior World Finals calf roping breakaway qualifier over Labor Day weekend. Was this your first experience with that? How'd that go?
No, I've been doing the ropings for 10 years.
There you go.
I did one Easter and one Labor Day.
Good.
But while I was when the American Breakaway first came out, it was right before one of my ropings when they kind of, you know, put the word out. And they called me and said, hey, would you be interested to do an American qualifier? Then I said, sure. You know, I've been saying breakaway is something that was laying there dormant, maybe, if you will, for a long time that was just waiting to burst open.
Yep.
And, you know, ladies breakaway, girls breakaway down south is a huge deal, and it's a jackpot. And when I had a chance to have one, I already had girls breakaway at my ropings for 12 and under and we get, you know, from 70 to 100 entries. So I was all about having an American qualifier because, honestly, guys, I think.
Joe, did we lose you? Hello?
About the flood, you know.
Well.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We dropped you for a little second. No worries.
Oh, sorry.
We're back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the breakaway is just waiting. I mean, it's laying there wet, bust open. And if you, you know, as a producer, if you're a part of it, you know, the ladies get to rope for big money. We've seen a couple of them win, you know, 60,000-70,000 this year. We saw a 16-year-old girl win the American. We saw a 16-year-old girl win Salt Lake. I mean, yep. It's just a big, big thing waiting to happen. And, to, you know, as a producer, you want to be a part of it. And it just adds to my junior event because the little girls and the young ladies get to sit there and watch, and they see the older ladies come and win $2,500, $3,000 at a jackpot, you know, on a one-day event. That's pretty positive for the event.
So what made you get in? You know, obviously 10 years ago, and I think of obviously when you were little, you would have loved to have a nice junior circuit to get, you know, a lot of experience and get better at. What made you get involved from the youth side?
Well, back when I was a kid, you know, I remember there was one junior open a year. You know, Smith Brothers, Johnny and Jimmy Smith, they had a junior open in Denton, Texas, and it was the only one. And then, I guess it was about... ...had one. And that was all they had, you know what I mean? That was it.
Wow. That's not
so
much.
So then... Yeah, no, and it wasn't easy, and people came from everywhere because, you and then, you know, Roy won, he started having one years 30 or 35. I went to one when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And when I got through roping, I just decided I wanted. Rodeo is a huge thing, junior rodeo, high school, junior high and high school rodeo. It's a huge thing down, you know, everywhere now. Really was then, so that's great.
Wow.
That gets one attempt, and if he strikes out, he's out for the day. Do every day as contestants making a living, but at a jackpot like that, an individual, a youth jackpot, it's 3 head or 4 head or whatever you want to make it. It's like, hey guy, guess what, buddy boy, you struck out, but it's okay. You get to come back and bat again. And you're going to get a chance to run it $1,000 or $500 or whatever two more times. And I think that's important for the youth in rodeo, that they don't just, you know that it's one chance every time, win or lose. You can bounce back and you can win two go-arounds and have a great day. So when you're rodeoing the next time and you're in your 10 rodeo set to qualify for the high school finals, the junior high, whatever, have one bad rodeo. It's not like, oh, you know, that just all went to, you know, the trash can. You got another rodeo the next day, bounce back. And I think that's where the roping events, the jackpots, are so important for the youth as they continue their rodeo adventures.
Yeah, no, that, you definitely got to get that experience in. I mean, it's the repetition, right? Like, you got
to
get that.
Yeah, and you know, when you're playing ball, you get however many times, you know, to bat. When you're at the junior rodeos, man, you got one run. If you mess up, break a berry, miss, get bucked off, hit a barrel, whatever, guess what? It's over till the next one. You don't get another chance. So I think the jackpots weigh in heavily on a win when things go wrong, because at that jackpot, you know, the other day I had 75 breakaway. Now we're talking about 10 and under, right? And one little boy came by me and he was up. Oh, Miss Joe, it's terrible. I missed. I said, what's a good thing? You got two more chances, huh? And oh, yeah, that's right. You know, so it kind of, we want them to know, man, just keep swinging, you know, and keep going.
Yeah, you got to get that attitude and the focus.
You do. And if you don't get it, guys, out here in the real, and you go to 6 or 8 rodeos in a row. I remember one time I went to 19 rodeos in a row. And, you know, you've got to be mentally strong to get through a slump like that.
You know,
so we're just trying to prepare.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I'm going to go back. So Dale Brisby, we work with Dale a lot. And he did an interview at a rodeo last year. And it was a guy, I can't remember the guy. He didn't make the rodeo. I don't think he's made the NFR ever. And he was talking to him, and he was like second to last.
What he would tell you.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But he was like, you're about $100,000 out and all this stuff. How are you feeling about, you know, making the NFR? He's like, I feel pretty good. I mean, he doesn't, it doesn't matter.
I guess there's the exception ever rule. If you'd asked me that, I'd have hung up. Here's how I feel, click.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Okay. Since you deal with the youth, if there's any words of advice that you would give any youth competitor to the gold buckle dream, what would you say to them?
Work hard enough. You can never, ever work hard enough. And the field is really big and the rearview mirror is really small. It's because you don't look behind, you look ahead.
Some good advice.
Yes.
Work is the word I hear a lot within rodeo.
Enough, I'm telling you. Just the day that you think that it's okay to not practice, and I mean, to you, body is something to your body. But there's always somebody out there that maybe doesn't have the facility to practice or has the opportunities that you might have or another one has. But he's working twice as hard. And if she's working twice as hard and has the ability you have, at the end, that was going to put you away.
Man, that's some good stuff. Well, we don't want to hold you up too much, Joe. We know you're a busy dude. Got a lot of things going on the road.
I'm actually making a drive that I have never made in my life.
Is it down a dirt road?
I flew from Pendleton to Albuquerque my whole life because it's too far to drive. But I've got a boy that we're talking about winning and losing. It's 16. So he's flying to Abilene, then down, and I'm driving for him because you always say you got to help somebody get a start. And I had help, and everybody else had help making it. Oh. If they say they didn't have help, they're lying. So I got plenty of time, about 14 hours and 30 minutes, if you want to be exact.
Man, that's awesome. Well,
thank you so much, man. You are awesome.
Y'all have a great day.
Hey, we look forward to seeing you.
Keep picking it up.
You bet.
See you when we see you. Bye.
All right, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
Catch you later.
Bye-bye.
Howdy, I'm Bob Tallman, and this is NFR Extra.
That's it for this one. This is episode 14, and man, was this thing packed.
I don't think I'm going to make it to 15.
You might be right. Well, I don't know about that. I think you will. Well,
I'll be on the show, maybe.
Yes.
All right, good.
You'll be there.
Hey, we want to give a huge thank you to Mr. Joe Beaver and the other Joe, Joe Dirt, Or maybe we call him Rockin' Robbie Hodges. Looking forward to seeing both of you in Las Vegas for the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo.
And I think Robbie will be a little bit everywhere, right?
Yep. He's all over the place.
And then I know you can catch Joe right before the event at Thomas Mack Center.
Yeah.
Bring your signs.
I think Rockin' Robbie's actually playing at a rock bar, PBR rock bar, every night.
That is true. I think he'll be here.
Live in action.
And if you're around here for PBR, you can catch old Rockin' Robbie at that time, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he likes Vegas.
I agree.
Anything beats the South.
Or the traveling that he does. As always, thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share as we get close to the finals for updates on what's happening in Las Vegas in December.
Gotta make it out to Vegas, where the big boys roam, with the Rovers and the Racers and the Bulls and the Browns, and the ladies in the skin-tight Wranglers and the cowboy hats.